Mystic Pete here, November 1st, 2025, with Jacques Haim with Diavolo. Hi, Jacques, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
I've seen several of your productions, and I'm about to see another one called Escape. Tell me about, well, your theater and your production company and this show tonight.
Well, you know, for the people who doesn't know anything about Diavolo, I started Diavolo in 1992, long time ago. I was always a fan of architecture. In a different life, I wish I could be an architect. I'm interested in the relation and interaction between the human body and the architectural environment, how it is affecting us not only physically, emotionally, mentally, but also socially. So this is my interest. And so in 1992, started Diavolo. At that time, there was not a lot of people in the United States of America who was actually using a lot of architectural structures to convey an emotion, an idea, to tell a story. And so instead of calling it Jacques Haim Dance Theater, I thought it was going to be a little pompous, you know, to have my name. Plus, I didn't know how well I was going to do or not. So that's why I came with the word Diavolo. Diavolo means devils in Italian, but actually it's not that because I believe in the devils. No, actually, if you really decompose the word Diavolo, dia in Spanish means the day, and volo in Latin, also in Spanish, volar means I fly, the day passes, life is like a cycle. It comes back and turns, so life is like a cycle. So, you know, Diavolo, where we use architecture, a lot of architecture, you know. So in 1999, I have to tell you that 1999 is then when we started to tour nationally and internationally. And it, really, I didn't know what I was doing, because to transport, you know, large structures, first into an 18-wheeler truck across the United States, or on a cargo in the ocean or air freight, that was insane. It was really challenging. But we went all over the world and all over the United States. And then when the pandemic happened, you know, like for everybody, we took a stop, a moment of reflection. What are we doing now? And so from a touring company, I kind of became more like a project-based company. And then for the longest time, you know, people tell me, you know, Jacques, when I come to your studio downtown Los Angeles, at the Los Angeles Brewery, you know, every time you do a run through of a piece or a workshop, seeing your work up close is really beautiful and impactful. I didn't really get it. I didn't really remember that someone was telling me this until a few years ago. I realized, but wait a minute, maybe I should actually do that. And this is what we've been doing. So for the last year, we transform our studio into a black box performance space, and we created the show Escape. I have to tell you why we created Escape. We are now in 2025, and now, unfortunately, the funding for the arts has been cut left and right. And so we lost a lot of grants. And what does it mean? It means that I have to kind of, you always have to reinvent yourself. And so I decided, why don't actually I create my own destiny? And this is the reason I decided, okay, I'm going to renovate the studio into a black box performance space. I'm going to bring 22 artists where we're going to create our own bubble. We're going to create together. We're going to collaborate together. We're going to create this community of artists together and create a show Escape. And the reason we call the show Escape, because we want to escape of the chaos of everyday life. We want to escape of this crazy world that we live in. Every time I listen to the news, you know, after a few minutes, I need to turn it off. So in a way, coming to our studio that, by the way, I rename my Diavolo studio. I call it now L'Espace Diavolo. Every time we come to L'Espace Diavolo and rehearse, create a show, we create our own little bubble. And it felt so good to really create Escape.
Well, I was going to save this question till later on in the interview, but because of what you just said, let me ask the bigger question. And that's, art for art's sake, or art to change consciousness that's political, that's social, that's giving a message, that's trying to do something for the world? Are we just watching beautiful bodies jumping around? Or can this actually affect our awareness?
It completely can affect our awareness. This show, Escape, is not just beautiful body jumping in the air or just beautiful movement, using different architectural structure. Not at all. The theme of the show Escape is about breaking through, breaking free, having a sense of freedom, pushing ourselves beyond our own limits emotionally, mentally, and physically. It is about, I put all those 22 artists, those 22 performers, beyond, pushing them beyond their own physical limits. So the audience, our guests, are seeing how human can be pushed to the edges. And in a way, it's like celebrating humanity. And in a way, you are being affected emotionally, mentally, as you're watching them perform. So it is a reflection on how you feel, how everybody feel right now. Everybody feel right now at the edge. We feel at the edge. The world is very complicated and complex. You don't know what is tomorrow. What is tomorrow? So suddenly, this show Escape is actually, number one, a lot of fun. Yes, it is entertaining. Let's not be scared about the word entertaining. You can create a show that is very socially impact, that is very impactful, but also can be entertaining. And also people can have fun. Having fun is very important. But at the same time, the audience will have fun. They will be affected in a very visceral way, in a very visual way, in a very emotional way. Since we've been starting the show Escape at the beginning of October, a lot of audience say, you know, I became emotional and I was in tears. And I asked them, but why were you in tears? You know, seeing human being pushed at the limit in a such a beautiful way has and is affecting me, because this is what I feel right now in my life. And I feel that they're on the edge, like there's no tomorrow. And that is the way I feel. So it does affect and impact the audience in a beautiful, positive way.
Well, the arts have always been a place of new ideas and sometimes of rebellion. And sometimes it's a type of rebellion. It's not with guns and violence, but it's a guy in a frog costume, or people dancing. Maybe no words are said, but you're communicating important new ideas for society. And in a time of, well, perhaps societal collapse, at least profound confusion, who are the people that's going to help define the future, right?
Yes, and Escape is very inspiring, because when you see the audience watching humans pushing themselves beyond their own limits and being so resilient and committed and determined, you actually question your own self going, so wait a minute, I should be like that in my life with whatever I am dealing with in my everyday life. I want to be like those performers, pushing myself and believing in myself and rising to the occasion. That's what Escape also does unconsciously to the audience. Also, Peter, the reason we created Escape has a very also a good cause. For the last 7 years, I've been working with the military veterans community, with the men and women of the armed forces coming back from their service and coming back from their deployment. So Escape, a lot of the proceeds will go to our military veteran programs. So people buying a ticket is actually tax deductible. The drinks they buy, the merchandise they buy, part of that will go to our military veteran programs. So in 2026, we're going to have another workshop with our military veterans. And our workshop lasts maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 weeks, and it culminates into a presentation into a showing here at L'Espace Diavolo.
Wow, some really good intentions so behind it.
That's why Escape has many layers of why this show is important.
Well, you're talking about the personal experience of pushing beyond your own boundaries. You're talking about supporting the community and supporting the veterans. Yep. And you're also talking about, again, perhaps a shift in consciousness, a new way of thinking. Ideas have to come from somewhere. And it's, as I say, it's often the artist. I've seen a few of your shows. I saw SOS, Signs of Strength, which used veterans as performers.
Yes.
And just regular people who weren't dancers. Yes. And there was a beautiful architectural structure.
Yeah.
So you're really incorporating all these elements. Well, let's talk about the architectural component.
Yes.
And I saw another one called Trajectory, with this beautiful rocking kind of ship-like item on stage.
Yes.
Where did architecture... I was looking at your biography and I see your family has a history in design and fashion, but now you're so interested in things and creation.
So, you know, I grew up into a family of artists. My grandfather, who I took his name, Jacques Haim, is the first man who invented the two-piece bathing suits that at that time in 1943 was called Atom, and then eventually took the name Bikini. You know, at that time it was a huge scandal for women showing the belly button. So, and then also my grandfather Jacques Haim also invented the ready-to-wear, what we call le prêt-à-porter. The reason now you can go into any store and buy small, medium, large, extra large. So he invented the ready-to-wear. So a lot of great history with my grandfather Jacques Haim. Why architecture? You know, I was always interested into architecture. Louis Kahn, the great architect, said better. He said, you know, architects are the philosophers of our environment. And so I traveled a lot, and I'm just a fascinated person walking into the street wherever I'm at and looking at the interaction of humans with their environment, whether they go through a revolving door and they get stuck in it, whether they go into an elevator and the kind of patterns and what is happening into an elevator, whether they actually are against a large piece of sculpture and what is their relation. And so it was always part of my interest. And that's why I decided, when I decided, okay, I want to start a dance company, that, you know, there was a lot of modern dance company doing work on the bare stage. And I thought, I'm not interested into that. I'm not a traditional, you know, I was never a dancer. That is the weird things about me, Peter. I was never a dancer. I was never a dancer that joined a dance company and then eventually became a choreographer. I am, like, if I can describe myself, I'm an architect of movement. If there was a definition of choreographer, I like an architect of movement. I understand the language of architecture. And that's why my inspiration are not so much other choreographers, but actually architects, such as Louis Kahn, Le Corbusier, Jean Nouvel, Santiago Calatrava, Endo Tadao, you know, and so many others, Zaha Hadid, you know, and so, and many, many others. I have a library full of architectural books, because what they talk about emotion, they talk about movement, they talk about material, they talk about patterns, human patterns, into their own sort of building, and what affect motion and how human interact within the place they are. And so that's my interest. Of course, there's a lot of other choreographers that I love, but that's my interest.
Well, your company is called Architecture in Motion.
Yes.
Right? It says intersection of architecture, innovation, education, and healing.
Yes.
Healing. I'm into healing too. Yes.
Healing, because I believe that I have more than just a dance company, but that I have a program. I realized 7 years ago, working with the military veterans, what I have been doing all my life for the last 33 years, Peter. And I only realized that when I started working with the military veterans, which is what? So the young men and women, i.e. dancers, who came into my company as dancers, really what I was doing is I was trying to understand who they were, what they're made of. I would try to understand their strengths, their weakness. I was looking at their weakness. Then understanding that, I became kind of an electrician, kind of recircuiting them, deconstructing them, reconstructing them, rebuilding, pushing themselves beyond their own emotional, mental, and physical limit so they can rise. So, and what I've been doing all this time is what I call restoration. Restoring their own emotional, mental, and physical strength, which is what I've been doing, not only with the civilians, i.e. dancers, for the last 33 years, but with the military veterans. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it is a program. And let me tell you, it works. The people that come here and go through this regimen, and trust me, if you had to ask them, how is it working with Jacques? They will all tell you, because I know exactly also my weakness and my strengths, and they will say, wow, it's intense.
Yeah.
Because I am like a drill sergeant, I am like a football coach, and I don't have any pity for them. And the reason I don't have any pity for them is because so I can do my work with care and love for them, so I can care for them the best. And I push them. And I yell at them when they make a mistake and ask them to do it again. I say, no, let's do it again. They say, but I'm in pain. I say, I don't care about your pain. You need to find a way. And on and on and on for hours and hours and days, like the same regimen that football players go through with a football coach or soldiers in their boot camp with a drill sergeant. But I do it with care and love, because at the end of the day, I love those humans. I actually love every human being that come into Diablo, because I'm fascinated about human being. I love human beings. They're the most interesting species ever. And my mission in life, why I'm here, is because I want to help others. Pure and simple, very simple. If you ask me, Jacques, why are you doing this? Because I want to help others to rise.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think most people know about legitimate dance either through backup dancers behind a famous singer or from like Disney movies or some kind of Disney Aladdin production. Yes. At a theater.
Yes.
So not to diminish that, that's entertaining, that's very high craft. Yeah. I mean, these people are very highly trained.
Absolutely,
artists.
Yes.
That's done this for years.
Yes.
And good for them.
Yeah.
But I think here you're trying to do something more. And legitimate dance, modern dance, ballet is trying to do something more. It's beyond just the craft. And you're working with space here.
Yes.
And not only the dancer space, but the shapes of the forms, the architecture you're bringing in, these big set pieces. I guess I'm trying to make a point that we're living in a space in Los Angeles, and lots of it are just sewers of ugliness. They're just ugly. There's line, like telephone lines every place. The buildings are boxes. There's just, the architecture is terrible. I mean, you can go to some cities in Europe, and the cities are works of art, and people get used to being in a place of beauty. I am living in a space of beauty. Space is actually a thing. It's just not like something we get through to get to someplace else.
Yes.
But in LA, we're used to kind of ugliness. And I think it is really important to be in spaces like you're creating, like I'm about to be in a little while and see Escape, where beauty, it's it teaches something about ourselves. How can we create a beautiful society, a beautiful government, leaders, if we're used to like something awful? So I'm appreciating it on that level too.
Thank you. I think the audience who experience escape will be beautifully surprised how actually, beside escape being entertaining, how impacted they are. Because there's nothing more beautiful to see other human being pushing themselves right few feet away of you, seeing the sweat, the bruises, the blood, the fear, the mistake, the accomplishment they make, and you see it and you feel it, and even the floor start to shake underneath your feet. So not only you see it, but you also feel it through your body. And it's really an incredible experience to actually experience that, this kind of up close and personal event. And it is an event. It is not, escape is not a dance concert. It's an event. And that's why the guest, i.e. the audience, will experience this event.
Well, I don't think there's any problem holding people to very high standards. And I think we even crave that. Yeah. But the purpose, the intention has to be for goodness. And as you say, healing.
There's something that I want to mention, and I've been realizing it. I don't think there's any other dance company in Los Angeles who is actually doing a residency at their studio. And if you think about it, it's pretty crazy what we accomplish. Not only renovated a dance studio into a black box performance space, and at the same time creating a show to do a long residency the months of October, November, Friday, Saturday, 8 p.m., Sunday, 6 p.m. But also, you know, at the end of November, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to bring back Escape at the end of January for another 2-3 months. Just doing this, and I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, Peter, I thought, okay, I'm just going to have maybe one house manager, you know, taking tickets, you know, and maybe, no, Peter, I need a team in the front of house. I need a team with a bar, a merchandise. I need a crew, a technical team. I had no idea what this little idea of doing this here took. And as many people came here, say, you know, Jacques, no one is doing this. And especially hiring over 22 dancers. Usually dance company have 6 or 10 or 12 dancers. But there's something beautiful and a mission that I want to do and continue is to hire a lot of dancers. Because Peter, since the pandemic, a lot of dancers, and especially in Los Angeles, don't have job. You know, for dancers is getting more difficult to get. And so that's why hiring a lot of dancers, 22 dancers, now actually we have 25, was also a mission. So I can hire a lot of dancers in the Los Angeles community.
Well, here we are. It's your studio. It's where you train people. But you also do performances here. I know you do performances around town too, and internationally.
Yes.
But here, you can smell the sweat. Yes. You can feel the floor vibrating. Yes.
So now, L'Espace Diavolo has become a destination. And hopefully, people will see that.
Wonderful. Any closing words, Jacques Haim?
No, I thank you so much. For what you're doing is very important to bring awareness to others who is going to be listening to this interview, and hopefully they'll make their way slowly to L'Espace Diavolo. L'Espace Diavolo, our show is Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m. Downtown Los Angeles as L'Espace Diavolo.
Jacques Haim, Diavolo, Escape, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Peter.